so cute.
Sure. All right.
So you have orders on?
Yep.
Let's
show you. That's what I want
to do. Okay, so welcome back to Tortoise Psych. It's been 3 weeks, 4 weeks since before Zuka, so it's good to be back. So today, as you can see from the sheets, the topic is anxiety, which seems to be more of a Jewish trait, right? Right. When you think of people who worry, do we usually think that Jews worry more, non-Jews worry more? What do we?
Persians
worry more. There you go.
Ashkenaz grandma.
Africans worry more.
Africans worry more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Than Jews.
You know what they say? Every 60 seconds, a minute passes in Africa.
So there is a stereotype of the stereotypical Jewish mother and grandmother, right? That's always worrying about, you know, how their kids they're gonna get sick, if something's gonna happen, right? So that's sort of the typical stereotype. But anxiety really affects everybody across the spectrum. So I'll throw out some stats to you. Let's take a vote. What percentage of people, just across America, not Jews, in general, what percentage of people do you think experience some form of an anxiety disorder?
100%.
100%. 2 out of 3. No. Not okay. Let me clarify. Not anxiety. I mean, we all have anxiety at some level, but actually that rises to the level of a disorder where you could be clinically diagnosed.
23%.
20-35.
80%?
90. So Shlomi got it.
18.1%.
Okay.
You said 80.
You said 80?
It's a British accent.
Okay, so somebody said 23, right?
I said 23.
23, there you go. So 18, high, right? So 18.1% of people, this is in 2016, actually experienced anxiety to a level of a disorder, which is crazy. It's almost one-fifth of the population.
It's lower, right?
That's crazy.
A lot.
18% of the population.
Of the general population, right, experiences anxiety to the level where it's actually a disorder. You'd be clinically diagnosed.
What does that mean, though? What's the effect of that?
Right. To be a disorder, it has to really be affecting your daily functioning. Right? We all have anxiety at some point in our life and to some level, right? But to be a disorder, to be clinically diagnosed, it has to really impair your functioning, impair your life. Okay, so 1/5 of people actually experiences that high level of anxiety, but we all experience anxiety throughout the day at certain points, right? When we're doing certain things. Okay, so here's another stat: in 2016, the U.S. death rate, so meaning the number of deaths per population, actually increased. Want to turn the AC? So here's the stat, okay? In 2016, the death rate, meaning the number of people that dying per capita, per the population, actually increased. Okay? It increased, meaning it had been decreasing since 1993. It's been decreasing for many years because of advances in medical care and science, right? People live longer. But and people die less. But in 2016, it actually went up. So more people died than in all the previous years from 1993.
From anxiety disorder?
So obviously there's a lot of factors, but one professor at, I think it was Washington University in St. Louis, said he thinks, because at the same time, there was another study that came out that this notion of living the American dream, you know, making it big and living in a big house and this and that, has become increasingly harder for people to actually fulfill because of the economic crisis and other factors. So people feel a lot more pressure. That means they're always under stress. And when you're always under stress, and this has been proven for many years, that when you have a lot of stress, physically it affects you, right? You have a higher degree of heart problems, you have more susceptibility to disease, to different things. So that professor thinks that the recent changes, economic and other, because of the increased stress, we're actually starting to live to die at a younger age, which is also pretty crazy. So again, 1/5 of the population has clinically significant anxiety and could very well be that we're dying earlier because of all that stress. So it's really a big issue. It's not just, you know, theoretical, let's discuss it in the realm of theory. It's actually a real issue that could affect us. So how does the Torah look at it? How does the Torah and the Chachamim look at anxiety? What can we do about it? How do we approach it? And what are practical etzes to combat it, okay? So look at source one. So we seem to have conflicting statements in Tanakh and in Chazal about worry, about anxiety, and about stress. So look at source one. Source one, a pasuk in Mishlei. So the pasuk says, Daga belevish, if there's worry, if there's anxiety in the heart of a person, yashchena. You should push it away. You should squash it.
Mishlei is what?
Mishlei is a sefer. It's written by Shlomo. Ksuvim. Ksuvim. No, Ksuvim. It's written by Shlomo HaMelech. And it's... Huh? Ksuvim, no.
Oh.
It's part of Ksuvim.
Yeah.
So Shlomo HaMelech wrote Mishlei, which is Proverbs translated, right? It's a lot of Jewish wisdom. And so he says, Daga blevish yashchana. If you have worry in your heart, if you have anxiety, yashchana, push it away, just squash it. The davar tov yisamchana. And we'll see what that means, but for now let's translate it as, and think about good things that will make you happy. Okay? So that seems to say that daga, worry, anxiety, is not a good thing, right? If you, the pasuk says, if you have anxiety, if you have worry, push it away, squash it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at source two, this is actually one of the earliest sources for therapy, the advantage or the mile of therapy. Says the Gemara, darshaning this pasuk, daga blevi shashchena, if you have worry in your heart, push it away. So Ami Bravasi, it was a machlokas how you interpret what this pasuk means. Chad amar yashchena midaito. One says, just push it away from your mind, just don't think about it. Something's making you nervous, something's stressing you out, just yashchena midaito, just push it out of your mind, don't think about it. That's one approach. Chad amar, and the other one says, what should you do? Yasichena lacherim.
Talk about it,
right? Talk therapy, right? Talk about it to somebody else. You have something that's weighing on you, anxiety, stress, right? Talk about it to somebody else. So here's one of the earliest sources for therapy, or even just talking with somebody else to get out your problems and to sort of resolve them. Okay. So either way, from that pasuk we see, it's not a good thing, right? You should get it out in some way, talk about it, or just push it away from your mind. But in the same sefer, Mishlei, in a different perek, what does Shlomo HaMelech say? Source 3. Any volunteers? Good. Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid, which means?
Mefachet from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Mefachet from anxiety.
Okay, good. So that's probably what we'll talk about. But let's just translate the words. Ashrei Adam, praiseworthy is the person. Mefachet Tamid, who's always fearful, who's always scared, right? So you're already pointing out something that maybe pachad could be different than daga, right? Fear or awe could be different than worry. But, yeah.
Could be or it is.
It's the same. Fear is a good thing, essentially. To focus, it keeps you when you're afraid of something.
Okay, good.
So you're moving forward in a way.
Good. So wait 4 minutes and we'll get to that, okay?
Giving away a share.
No, it's perfect. No. I want you guys to be thinking along the lines that I'm thinking, okay? So we see here that pachad, right, worries, or being fearful is a good thing, right? Praiseworthy. Okay, so how do we resolve this conflict, right? So look at the second and third pages. So this is an amazing Rav Dessler in Michtam Eliyahu. Okay, so he quotes.
Which one?
So this is the second and third page. Second page is 233, exactly. So start on 233 at the bottom where I underline, and then it goes on to 234.
That?
Yeah, so let's read it. So Amar Razal. So there is a. Oh, you know what? Before we get to Rav Dessler, one second. No, no, let's do it with Esther. Okay, so let's read it. So Amar Razal. So our rabbi said, Shirak hachote mifache. Who is the person who is fearful, who is worried? Hachote, the one who sins. Shenamar, pachadu b'tzion chatayim. That the people in Israel are afraid because they've sinned. Uvizohar mevuar yoser, and in the Zohar it explains this more. Shehapachad, and listen to this is an amazing insight. Shehapachad b'inyanei ha'olam hazeh. Whenever we're worried, we're fearful about things in this world, right? What's going to be with my life? What's going to be with my job? How am I going to do this? How am I going to perform? What are other people going to think? Right? Any kind of worry or stress in this world, eino ela dimyo. It's only an illusion. Shenidme la adam, shemefache mipnei sakanas olam hazeh. Right? In our mind, it seems to us that we're afraid from things that are going to happen in the world. Ach, but what's the true source of that worry? Ach, bekerev libo ha'adam, deep down, in the recesses of our hearts, right? Our primios, mefachei b'nei chata'av. Really, what we're scared about, what's causing that stress, that fear, is our sins. Kiloma, ha'pachad b'inyanei ha'olam hazeh, eino ela tachlif lefachei mipnei achei. Worrying about the world, about what's going to happen to us, and everything that a person normally worries about, is really just a illusion and a different form of the real fear, the real worry, which happens because of sin.
It's like misplaced anxiety.
Good.
So past sin or present sin?
Wait, so it's a
present
real
meaning what?
That someone is still doing sin, it creates his anxiety, or someone used to do sin at the past.
I think it's both. So I want to explain this a little more because it sounds, I mean, it's definitely a deep insight, but I want to unpack it a little.
So one second, like,
yeah. Right, you're saying it might not be tied to your chataim, to your averos.
I'm saying, why didn't you just go
Okay, so that's partly how I want to explain it. So let's unpack this a little. So, and he, Rav Dessler explained this in other places, that everybody's created with great potential, right? Hashem created us with the ability to do great things, and each of us has a specific mission in life, and we have the kochos, the qualities, the character traits to be able to do that. But he also gave us a yetzer hara, and one of the ways, or the primary way, that the yetzer hara gets us to not fulfill our potential is by telling us that we can't do it. Right, you're not that great. You're not able to do it, and therefore, just do this right. It's not a big deal, right? You're not so great. So let yourself do this. It's not a big deal. So, really, at the root of chet is the person's lack of belief in themselves, right? Because the Yetzer Hara tells you you're not so great. You can do this, Savera, and therefore, there's a certain covering, there's a certain forgetting of our potential and what we could accomplish, and therefore we let ourselves get into that mode of just doing the Aveda.
Is it talking on a spiritual level? When you say a person knows what he's capable of, on a spiritual level or on a like, you know, non-spiritual level, on a regular day,
mental level? I think they're intertwined, right? Meaning, the way a person thinks of themselves is an inherently spiritual way, right?
If a person has sin, that's a lot of sin, but he's very confident at the same time and is very, you know, highly productive in what he does, is that like a person who doesn't
he's productive in Gashmius, let's say.
Not in
Right. Okay, so then that's also misplaced belief in itself, right? Meaning you believe in yourself, but only in one facet of life. But you don't believe in yourself. Exactly, exactly. So we're talking, so that's the basis. So again, we have this potential, we should remind ourselves of what we can do, and the Yetzer Hara tries to tell us we can't do it, And that's the root of chet. So, really, anxiety, if you think of a situation where you're nervous, right? So maybe you have to give a public speech, right? Or you have an interview. Or there's something that you have to do that you're nervous about. Or you're nervous about what's going to happen in your life with this issue, or what's going to happen with that issue, right? So really, if we break it down, what are we worrying about? We're worrying that we're not going to be able to fulfill our potential, right? If I have an interview, a job interview, right? I'm nervous it's not going to go well. So what's the root of that anxiety?
Lack of belief.
Yeah, I mean, meaning that I'm not gonna show the potential employer my true self, right? My skills, what I can do, right? So you're afraid that you're not gonna fulfill your potential. And really, if you think of any facet of life where you have anxiety, right? What's gonna be with, you know, getting married? What's gonna be with a job? What's gonna be with family, etc.? If you break it down, it's really, am I going to do what I am destined to do, right? Can I achieve my potential? Can I do what Hashem actually gave me the ability to do? Okay? So that's the basis of anxiety. And therefore, says Rav Dessler, based on the Zohar, whenever we have that anxiety, whenever we have that worry about things in life, really, it's coming from chet. It's coming from chet, which again is at its root the inability of us to achieve our potential. Okay, does that make sense? Right?
I guess that. Can you say that one more time?
Yeah. So here's the... So chet, at its core, right, why do we sin? Because the Yetzer Hara tells us that we can't do what we're supposed to do, what we could potentially do, right? It makes us think we can't do things.
That's on the spiritual... I think I'm a little confused. Maybe that's what Aaron asked.
Yeah, that's
right. You're talking about... Spiritually, when you say potential, does it mean becoming
only
a big tzaddik, learn a lot of Torah, daven three tefillos, or you're talking about starting my dream business, getting my car?
Any potential, right? I mean, if you think about it in a very general sense, hopefully, whatever you're doing in life should be contributing to the ultimate mission that Hashem gave you, right? So even starting your own business, even inyanei gashmi, are also contributing to your ultimate potential and your mission in life.
And one has to do with the other. I do chet at a spiritual level, and it could affect me on my day-to-day.
On a physical level, correct.
What if a person isn't thinking about a spiritual level on his day-to-day? He doesn't think about what his capability of is, you know, on a spiritual level. He just lives his day-to-day life.
Then what?
As a Jew, but you know, ultimately he was destined in the world to do something, but he doesn't think about that,
right?
And
you know,
like, in the same way, the sin is what creates the anxiety.
Think of it,
right?
It's a psychological thing. It's a psychologically, why do you do chet for a second? You know, forget about spiritual. Let's talk about psychological. You know, to get to
why do you do chet?
Why do you think? Because I don't believe in myself. I don't think I can control my time.
Level,
I don't
that's
think
there's someone that knows. There's someone that doesn't
level,
know.
But what if you're not even aware of that spirit? Like,
no. But even in a gashmi thing, right? I gave the example of the interview, right? Why are you nervous about the interview? Because the Yetzer Hara is telling you, I can't achieve my potential. I can't show the employer what I'm truly capable of, right? I'm not going to make a good impression, right? So the Yetzer Hara can get you even in the gashmi matters, right? But in general, it's making you think that you're not as good as really, really deep down what you are, okay? So again, so if anxiety stems from that, from really a fundamental lack of belief in oneself, so Rav Dessler says that's really, so any anxiety that we have is really the Yetzer Hara making us think that way, okay? So let's get back to... Sorry? Right, I'm trying to argue that that's the root of chet also, but even without chet, just that the way the Yetzer makes us think about ourselves, that's really the root of daga. That's the root of chet, and that's the root of daga.
But maybe someone just has a big Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara is always just the bigger the person, the bigger the Yetzer Hara. It's just the Yetzer Hara is just always telling him stuff, and putting himself down.
Right. But the mechanism of how it works. Like Rav Dessler says in another place, how meaning you have a taiva to do something. So what's going to actually push you to do it, to do that vera? So he says one of two options. Either the Yetzirah tells you that vera is not so bad, or you're not so good. Right? Meaning it lessens... Sorry?
So it's just not going like this. It's just, it has to be telling you something in order that it's focusing your... It's convincing you.
It's two methods of convincing you that this avera is not so, is you can do it. Is either it's not so bad, or you're not so good, and therefore you can do it, right? So if you really break it down into the mechanism and how it works, that's really what it's based on. Okay, so that's the fundamental basis of anxiety and worry. So now let's see source 5. So go back to the first sheet, source 5. So it's two stories in the Gemara in Maseches Brachot. So I'll just read it quickly and paraphrase. Hahu talmida dehava ka'azel basred Rabbi Shma b'Rabbi Yossi. There was a certain student who was following Rabbi Shma b'Rabbi Yossi, b'shuk ha'detzion, in the shuk of Yerushalayim. Chazya dekam afchid. Rabbi Shma saw that the student was worried. He was nervous. Amar Le, so he said to him, Chatat? Did you do an Avera? Dichsif pachadu b'tzion chatat. We know that people are afraid when they do sin. So have you done any Averos, which is making you worry, which is making you nervous? So Amar Le, so the Talmud said back to him, Maksiv, Ashri Adam Fachet Talmud, right? Rebbe, what do you mean? We say in Mishlei, it's praiseworthy for a person to be mefachet tamid. So why are you assuming that I did a chet? I'm just being mefachet because it's a good thing. So Amar Lei, so the Rabbi Shmuel said back to the student, Hahu v'divrei Torah k'siv. When do we say it's good for a person to be nervous, to be afraid, regarding divrei Torah? Okay, so pause there, hold that for a second, because we're going to explain what that means. Now let's do the second story. Yehuda bar Nasan haveshakir la'azil batzred Rav Hamnuna. This person, Yehuda bar Nasan, was also following Rav Hamnuna. And Asnach, so the Yehuda gave out a great big sigh. Ay. Right? Amar Leis, Rav Hamnuna said to him, Yisurim bayi ahu gavra la'suye anavshei. Does this person, meaning you, want to bring more troubles upon yourself? Dichsiv ki pachet pachati vayaseni vasher yagorti yavoli, a pasuk in Iyov, which basically says that I was worrying so much, and what I worried about eventually ended up happening to me. V'haksiv asher yadam pachet tamid. So again, he answered the same thing. What do you mean, Rebbe? Why are you assuming that I'm sighing and is a bad thing that I want terrible things to come upon me? No, I'm sighing because it's praiseworthy to be afraid, to be nervous. So he gave the same answer, Ahu b'divrei Torah k'siv. That's talking about divrei Torah. So Rashi on that Gemara says, makes it very specific. He says it's talking about remembering, it's really just divrei Torah, remembering what you learned. And you should always be nervous about remembering what you learn, because if you're not nervous about it, you're going to forget it very quickly. So the only way to remember what you learned is to be nervous about it, to be nervous that you're going to forget. Okay, but I want to take the Gemara's answer in a slightly different way, and I want to make it more global. So again, the Gemara says, when is it good to be afraid? When is it good to worry? B'divrei Torah, right? So let's travel for 1 second to a psychology concept in number 6, okay? And this was first put into law. This idea was first found in 1908, right? So 100 years ago, or 110 years ago, right? But it still applies today. So, and it's called the Yerkes-Dodson Law. It was developed by a guy named Yerkes and a guy named Dodson. And what they found, so they did a number of studies, and they wanted to figure out how stress, how anxiety affects performance, right? So classic example, right? You have a test, you have an interview, right? So how does anxiety about that affect your performance on the actual task? And what they found, which I think most of us know intuitively, is that a small amount of stress actually increases your performance, right? It makes you do better. But once that stress, once anxiety gets too high, then it actually decreases your performance, right? It inhibits your performance. Okay, so if you look at the graph, look at source 6, right? So you see the curve, right? So at the beginning, performance is low and arousal or anxiety is low, right? As arousal or anxiety gets a little bit higher, performance goes up, right? You see that? And then you reach a peak, which is your perfect, the sweet spot, right? The perfect, you have enough anxiety to make your performance top, the top performance that you can do, but you don't have too much anxiety. And then once anxiety gets more, then your performance takes a sharp decline down. Okay? And this is actually there's a whole field of sports psychology, which is psychologists helping athletes perform at their optimum level, you know, helping them with the mental aspect of the game. And a lot of what they do is this, meaning if an athlete doesn't have any anxiety, they're not sort of, you know, concentrating, they're not worried about the result of the game, whatever, then they're not going to perform well. But if, when they have too much anxiety, you know, this is, my whole career depends on this one game and whatever, then that's gonna inhibit them. So sports psychologist tries to get them to that sweet spot, right, where you have enough anxiety to perform, but you don't have too much to actually inhibit your performance. Okay? So they were looking at that in a purely, you know, this world example, you know, performing on a test or some other activity. But I want to use that for our world, which is Torah, right? Which is performing mitzvahs. So what I think what one way you can interpret the Gemara, Ha'u b'divei Torah k'siv, is that we need some pachad, we need some anxiety, we need some worry when it comes to fulfilling our mission in life, to doing mitzvahs, to learning Torah, because if we don't have any anxiety, we're not going to do it. Right? We're going to be like, oh, I'm fine, I don't have to worry, everything's fine, why should I have to do this? So we need some level of anxiety, right? And that's what that was the response of Rabbi Shma and Rav Hamnuna. When is it good, Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid, when is it good to have stress, to have anxiety? V'divrei Torah, when it comes to performing and so on, when it comes to learning Torah, when it comes to fulfilling, and again, I'm taking Divrei Torah in a very general context, right? Divrei Torah meaning our mission in life, which is always under the rubric of Torah, right? So you should have some level of anxiety. You shouldn't have too much, because that's going to inhibit your performance, right? And this actually happens, right? There are people who have religious OCD, that they get too nervous about performing mitzvahs, and it actually inhibits them from performing mitzvahs, right? They need to repeat Shema 100 times because they didn't have the proper kavana. So we're not saying that worry, daga by mitzvahs, is always a good thing. You have to have it in the right amount, the right balance, okay? And this is really what, if you look at source 7, this is really what Rav Tzadok says. Rav Tzadok HaKohen, in a famous line, says, "Kashem she'adam tzarech lahamin b'Hashem," just like we need to believe in Hashem, right? That's a fundamental basis of our belief. "Kach tzarech achakach lahamin ba'atzno." Once we get that down, once we believe in Hashem, then the next step is to believe in who? In ourselves, right? Right, to believe in our potential, to believe, and it's one and the same, right? If we believe in Hashem, when we believe He created us for a purpose, with a specific mission, and He gave us the talents and the abilities to do that, then it follows that if we believe in Hashem, we're going to believe in ourselves also, because you can't have one without the other, right? So if you believe in yourself and you have that base level of anxiety, like, I can do this, I have a mission, I have talents, and therefore I feel a certain pressure, a certain anxiety, but healthy anxiety, to do what I'm supposed to do in life, right? If you don't feel that, then you're never going to accomplish anything. If you just say, oh, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I'll just, you know, go with the flow. So you have to have some belief in yourself, and that belief then translates into a slight worry, a slight anxiety, that am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And that's supposed to push us, that's supposed to, you know, strengthen us to do what we can do. Okay? So let me end with two two practical ways that we can actually, what we can do in situations of anxiety, okay? So look at source A, the great study done in 2014. And it's titled Anxiety, High Arousal, Excitement. Oh no, I'm sorry, I'm reading my notes. The title of the study was Get Excited, Reappraising Pre-Performance Anxiety as Excitement. So what did the researchers do? They took people and they made them do three anxiety-provoking tasks. I think one was singing a song in front of other people, one was giving a speech in front of other people, and I forget the third, but another anxiety-provoking task, okay?
Dancing for a little bit.
Maybe dancing, yeah. Exactly, right. Right, things that a lot of people, most people have some anxiety, okay? And they had two conditions. In one condition, they told the people before, they had people fill out certain forms before they did the task, and in one condition, they had the people write, I'm worried, I'm nervous, right? All different forms of anxiety before they perform the task, and then they measured how well they performed the task. The other condition, they made the people write, I'm excited, I'm really looking forward to this. Even if they weren't, but they made them write that, okay? And then they went through the song or the speech or the dance, and what they found is that the people who wrote, I'm excited, I'm looking forward, you know, this is going to be great, actually performed better on the task. So what the researchers hypothesized is that if you have a level of anxiety that's, you know, causing you stress and that's inhibiting your performance, so what do we usually think? Try not to worry about it, right? Calm yourself down, right? But neurologically that's very hard because your brain is in a heightened state of arousal, right? You're nervous, and telling yourself to bring your brain down to a very calm state, that's very hard to do, right? To go from a high level of arousal to a very calm state. So what the researcher said is that instead of trying to bring yourself from up here to down here, just stay at this high level, but shift the arousal. So shift it from worrying, from anxiety, to excitement. Because excitement is also a high arousal of your brain, so you stay in that same high arousal place, but you're just shifting it from thinking about it in a nervous type of way to thinking about it in an exciting type of way. Okay? That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah? So that's actually
fight,
a
fight or flight.
I don't know how easy it is to do, but it makes sense.
Well, right, but she's saying it's much easier to do than to try to put yourself at a very calm, low energy
right,
state. Because then you're really taking your brain from a high level arousal to a low level, that's very hard. But if you just shift it, keep it at high arousal, but shift it, then and they saw from the study that if they shift it to excitement, that actually helps your performance, okay?
So people are just negative. People are negative, they're coming with negative emotions.
Ellie, it's like what Emo always says.
Because you're negative,
challenge.
To become nervous.
Instead of be afraid of the next thing, look
so
forward to it. Be excited towards
mode,
it. Like,
then
wait
exactly.
for what's coming instead of worrying about what's coming in it.
So
they're
going to come
to a
more...
Changes.
Feel awesome.
It's like challenge, yeah.
Yeah, say more. How
so,
how in Tefillah?
I heard this from the... When you're praying for something, you're praying, okay, give me this, or I want this, or I need this. It's a different approach where pray as if you already received it, as if it's by your doorstep already.
Uh-huh.
Thank you so much for giving me that. Thank you so much for doing that for me, even though it didn't happen.
That's like manifesting.
And that's like the self-fulfilling prophecy. That if you tell, I mean,
I don't know what's...
Well, it sounds like it works for Lara, that you can, if you think something bad so much, you'll actually...
It might actually come on you, right. And that was part of the Gemara in Brachos, that if you worry about something happening to you, you might actually bring it upon yourself.
Right.
You might actually live it out, right? So you're saying the opposite. If you think something good is going to happen, or if you sort of reframe your thoughts and really think that, oh, this is already happening, you want it to happen, it's going to happen.
Statistically, do hypochondriacs get sicker more?
Say
again. Statistically, do hypochondriacs get sicker more?
Because they think, no.
Placebo has a real effect.
If you're worried about, yeah, it's the same thing, right? If you're worried about getting sick, then your physical manifestations will actually parallel that. Exactly, right. So let me end on a happy note. So that's one way to avoid or to deal with anxiety, right? Switch it from being nervous to being excited. Okay. So keep yourself at high arousal, but shift it from nervousness to excitement. Okay?
Nervous to nitro.
Exactly.
What's, nervous nitro. What's a tool that one can have to actually do that in when it comes down to it?
So you could just think about it in a different way. Meaning, let's say you're going for an interview, right? So sort of like what we said in Tefillah, like, I'm going to nail this interview. I'm going to do well. It's going to be great, right? So there's a lot of positive self-talk.
Stay positive instead of negative.
Yeah. You could even do positive self-talk, you know, when nobody's around. Just make positive statements to yourself. If you do it with other people around, they're going to think you're crazy. Right?
Are you kidding? I always do that.
There you go.
Prep talk in the mirror.
There you go.
Talk yourself, you hype yourself up.
Yeah.
I do that every morning before I go out to work.
Perfect.
Every morning.
Yeah.
What's that?
Good. That's clinically been, that's clinically
yeah,
been proven
no,
to work.
In front of the mirror, slap myself. You're going to kill it, Zed. Then I'll go out and kill it.
Okay, so let's see the last source, okay? So look at source 9, guys, okay? You ready? Look at source 9, okay? So this is another way to shift anxiety-provoking situations or fearful situations. And this is actually what we're going to see from Mefersh, is that this is a Jewish trait, okay? So let me give you some context. Bnei Yisrael comes out of Mitzrayim, right? They come to Yam Suf, and they're stuck, right? There's a huge sea in front of them. They turn back around, and what do they see? They see the Mitzrayim chasing after them. They turn to Moshe, and what do they say? They say, Hamibli ein kvarim b'Mitzrayim, right? Moshe, were there not enough graves in Egypt that we couldn't stay there, right? So if you think about this, right, they're in an insane situation of fear, right? The sea is on one side, the Mitzrayim are on the other side. It's basically, you know, between a rock and a hard place. It, you know, certain death. And what do? They use sarcasm. They use humor, right? Oh, Moshe, were there not enough graves in Mitzrayim, right? And I think this is the first instance of Jewish humor, Jewish sarcasm in the Torah. No, so look at what our verse says.
Sarcasm or
it was sarcasm.
Is it sarcasm or is it like a prayer? Is it like saying, yeah?
Well, on a very
people die, right?
on a very
it's not a right way to say it though.
No, but on a very pasha level, it's sarcasm, right?
Hasn't enough people died in Egypt? You know.
One second. You know what's your plan?
It sounded like, I think that the best pun I made all month is this is literally between a rock and a hard place. Because Moshe's rock and a hard place in the Torah.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, he was. Yeah, he definitely had some issues with the. The rock and a hard place. So listen to what Rav Hirsch says, okay? So look at source 9. Hayim echutzer kvarim, right? Where there are not enough graves in Mitzrayim. Ironia chadazu, this very sharp, sarcastic remark. Afilu berega shel pachad v'yeyush, even at a time of such fear and worry and giving up hope. She'ein l'mala mehem, right? It was such a situation of fear. Mitzayenes eschush humor. Shehi tachunas. Listen to this. Tachuna ofanit shal shevet Yaakov bahir asecha. He says this shows us that it's actually a Jewish trait. Humor and, you know, witty sarcasm is a Jewish trait. And I think in another place he explains, and that gets us through stressful situations, right? We know the many or most of the comedians are Jewish, right? There's a certain mile of Jewish humor, right? Why? Because historically we've always been in situations of high stress and high anxiety. So we use humor, but we use humor as a way of reducing that stress. Okay? So that's another, and I don't have, you know,
I think I saw a Rosham Shapal here said, why is Yitzhak called Yitzhak? He's
Gvura. Right, yeah.
Think,
yeah.
What would you call someone who's, he is Gvura, his name is Laughter? He says, Hagufa, he says, the only way you can actually reach real Gvura is to laugh off stressful and other situations.
Your first says this.
Yeah, I think.
Wow, there you go. So he echoes the same sentiment, but.
By this back in last week's part, so he represents Gvura. He says, like, the world? He says, Hagufa, you have to laugh. Do you really want to be, like, on point always? You have to laugh off,
the tough situations. Okay? So again, so two aces. One. Channel the high arousal from worry to excitement, and two, try to inject some humor, right? Just try to make a joke, try to inject some humor into those stressful situations, and then you're tapping into that inherent Jewish trait that's got us through all the historical situations that we've been through, and it could get us through our personal difficulties in life as well.
Another one. True funny fact, I have to enjoy it.